Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the STEM Files on Blog Talk Radio, where we highlight the best and brightest in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. I'm your host, Tariq Muhammad, Chairman and Chief Science Officer of Original Man Scientific. I also have my co-host on the line with me, right-hand man, Jabril. What's going on, sir?
I'm doing well. Peace and blessings, everyone. This is Jabril Muhammad, co-host and vice chairman of Original Man Scientific and also a professional materials engineer in industry.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so our guest actually has not joined us yet, so she'll be with us shortly. So what's going on in your life, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. I mean, you know, the obvious, you know, preparing for, you know, getting married. I know you know that whole process in terms of just the before and during in your case. But, you know, just I'm preparing for that, you know, gearing up for more work and this coming promotion at the job and everything in the field. So there's that aspect as well, and just kind of striving to kind of be better. Just every day, just trying to be better and not be complacent. You know, I was just thinking, I made a Facebook post. I don't know if you saw it, but it was like, you know, some of the things that we're working on in OMS, and I was just talking about using adjectives. Give me a quick second. I'm going to pull it up. I thought it was some things I'm trying to make stay with me. But basically, I was talking about being so I'm talking about having greater patience, proactivity, urgency, discipline, prayer, confidence, grace, vigor, risk, humility, love, and really submission to, like, God's will. And I think a lot of those things, you know, obviously if you're a believing individual, you know, some of them are going to be more important than someone who isn't. But particularly, like, those things that are, like, important regardless of what you do are common success principles, like discipline. You know, we can all attest to, you know, whatever it is we do, we want to do it at a high level. It requires a level of discipline, you know, and then having a sense of urgency, being that, like, you do it with a purpose and you do it, you know, moving forward at a quick pace, and then obviously bigger and taking risks, you know, with any company, with any venture, with anything that you do that, you know, you don't know the actual outcome. There's a risk attached to it, but a lot of times some of the biggest risks that people take have landed them to be very successful in the outcome. So that as well. And then being confident, not necessarily something I struggle with, but sometimes, you know, we all have our little, like, idiosyncrasies or things that we are not securing in ourselves. So just overcoming that. But I posted this because just I like to put things out in front of me and kind of have to, like, have it be blatant in my face so I can kind of see the things that either I'm struggling with or the things that I'm just trying to be better at. So, you know, all wrapped up into, you know, like, why we do this show is, like, we want to not only highlight those in STEM, but we also want to highlight people, successful people that have overcome trial and difficulty, so that people can know, you know what I'm saying, what it means to, in STEM and in general, be successful in that regard. And it's always humbling because we've had a number of quote-unquote younger individuals that have done big things in their respective realms of the sciences and everything. So I always thought that was dope. But, you know, just looking at this post, it just made me think of, like, you know, how far we've come as, you know, as a budding company and everything, what we plan to do and how much more we can do. So just trying to stay, you know, as they say, which is a cliche depending on how you use it or who says it, but hungry and humble, which I try not to make cliche, but it's so relevant, bro. It's so relevant.
Right, right. Exactly. You know, man, and it's crazy too, man. I was just about to say something, now a guest came on. All right, so.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right. So let me go ahead and chime her in. Ms. Casso, you on?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. How are you, ma'am?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. Happy New Year.
Great.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes, I have my co-host
Happy
on the line
New
as
Year.
Well as Jabril.
How are you,
huh?
Ma'am?
Yes. I'm great.
I'll just introduce you to my co-host.
Oh, okay. I'm great. Just cooking and editing and cooking.
Okay. All right. That's nice. Good to hear from you. And it's Casa. Am I saying that right?
Yes, Casa. Yes, K-A-S-S-A.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and your first name
so
is
much.
Tanisa, right?
Yes, Tanisa Casa.
Okay. Great.
Yes, Ethiopia.
All right, so thank you for. Are you from Ethiopia?
Well, my husband's dad is. That's what the name origin came from. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for joining. Thank you for joining the show tonight and taking the time out of your evening. I know it's a Sunday,
yeah.
So I know, you know it's kind of family day, but you know everybody in the family, you know, it's like an extended family too. So we appreciate your time. Appreciate your time. So can you kind of give us just like a brief background of yourself for those who are listening, and what area of STEM you're currently involved in?
What was that last part? I'm sorry.
And what area of STEM you're currently involved in?
Oh, STEM. Okay. Yeah. My name is Tanisa Costa. I'm 40 years old. I've been in the engineering engineering part of the STEM since I was 20, since 1995, and I've been in the arts part since I guess 2000, because I do graphics, photography, editing, film, and videography. And I have, if you look on my Facebook page, I have engineering as my background, film, videography, photography, graphic design, and editing is my passion. Because I have degrees in both. Currently work. I work for Arcom Systems. It's a fire alarm, fire sprinkler design firm. Before I worked for Cromwell Architects Engineers, which is the biggest architectural discipline in Arkansas. They had a big layoff. I took a break and taught at ITT for 4 years. And then I also taught at Lark School District for 5 years, and then I went back to the engineering field. If I wasn't doing engineering, I was teaching it. It's a saying, if you're not doing it, teach it. If you're not teaching it, study it, you know. And I also work part-time for a television station. I do videography and editing. And I also do that for myself. I love it.
Okay.
I tell people all the time, if I don't make it in the film industry, I always tell the engineering industry to back up, you know.
right.
if I don't become an Ava DuVernay, you know, I'll become a Katherine Johnson. You know, she the one that sent an astronaut.
Okay, I like that.
She the one that sent John Glenn to the moon. So, I would love to work beside Ava DuVernay one day, but you know, the film industry is more challenging to get into than engineering. So, you know, I said, well, if I don't get an Oscar for the best movie, I would like to design one of the best homes or design one of the state-of-the-art fire alarm systems. I was telling one of the engineers the other day, I said, let's make some millions. Let's come up with a fire alarm that can stop these fires in California. You know, so anyway, in any field, I want to leave a big impact, whether it's engineering or film. I just don't want to just work there. I want to come up with some inventions and come up with something that will work, that will prevent fires.
Right.
That will prevent people from losing their home in the fire or losing their life.
Right.
So I have an interest in both. They're both interesting. One is numbers and one is real technical, and then one is very creative. And so I have two sides of my brain I use. My left side is engineering. My right side is art. And so I use both sides every day, you know, and I love
ma'am.
It. I love it. I love it. Keeps me on my feet. So, and that's
wow,
and I'm still learning every day. I'm still learning.
Right.
There's always something to learn in both of these industries. And I support the STEM, especially for young black girls, because 2% of African American women, 2% of us are in architectural, construction, and engineering, and film. And so that's why
2%.
I support. That's 2%. We need to move them numbers up a little bit.
Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am.
And we need to move them up, and hopefully at least get it to 20%. And that's why I support the STEM. for our young black girls. And that's why I supported the movie Hidden Figures. And then why and that's why that movie is so dear to my heart, because I didn't go through what Katherine Johnson went through, but I experienced somewhat being a black woman in the engineering field. The challenges in this all-white male, it's not an all-white male field, but it's dominated by white male.
And what were some of the things that you... Yes, ma'am.
No,
what were some of the things that you...
Well,
I'm sorry, just go ahead.
No. Just the challenges. Just, you know, the holdbacks. Not letting you... Like Katherine Johnson, she knew her stuff. But the other guy in the movie, he didn't know nothing. He didn't, you know, but and so I experienced that. You know, I knew more than my white male counterparts, but they got the raises and they got the promotions, and I was still, but, you know, it's one of them things, just be grateful you have a job. You know,
right.
Be grateful that we hired
right.
you. You know, I'm not experiencing that now, this job. You know, but the previous architecture engineering firms that I work for, you know, it's like, just be glad you have a job. You know, and I knew more than some of them really engineers that had a, and I was a designer. So, and I worked for a black firm before, architectural firm in Little Rock, and they were small. I worked for black and white firms. And, you know, of course, you know, but, yeah, I learned a lot. And I worked in Tampa, I worked in Little Rock, and just working with different people. You know, you learn from a lot of people. And so
right.
I'm very appreciative now for where I'm at right now. I'm learning a lot, you know. And they're being patient with me because I was in electrical engineering for 8 years. And now, and I was in electrical engineering, we did a little bit of fire alarm, but we didn't get in depth with it. But now with this firm, we're getting real deep with fire alarms. So it's like I understand the basics, but now I'm learning a whole nother genre of the engineering. But it's interesting because, like, my motto is save, like, the boss is like, I know this is not architecture, this is not electrical engineering, this is not fancy. I said, well, but we're saving lives one wire, one
right,
cable,
exactly.
one conduit at a time. And that's how I look at
that's
it.
That's right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
So what was
I,
that?
I like it.
What was that? Right, right. So what was that transition like from going from architectural to engineering? Were there any major differences or anything like that?
Well, the only difference is architectural, you're not really architectural. You're designing details and you're designing floor plans and you're going out to buildings and you're measuring old buildings and you measure rooms so you can implement it on AutoCAD. With engineering, you still dealing with architectural, but you're putting electrical in there. Now you're putting fire alarm systems in there. You're putting switches. You're putting lighting. You're putting power. You know, because before, you know, okay, of course the architectural stuff gets built first. You know, because in order it's just civil, then it's structural, then it's architectural, then it's MEPF, which is mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and fire alarm. So you still see floor plans. You don't do nothing to them. You're just adding systems in there because a building can't operate without electrical, HVAC, and plumbing and fire alarm. Anyway, so it was a little bit of transitioning, but it was more of learning how to implement, how to put. Put things, we had to wait on the architect to give us a floor plan so we can put the systems in the floor plan. You know, when before,
okay.
I would just design a floor plan and then be done. So, you know, you're still dealing with architectural, you just put in systems.
Right, right.
Now you're on the other side. Mm-hmm. You're on the other side now, you know.
Mm, okay. Yeah. I guess it all goes hand in hand with. Oh, go ahead, bro.
No, finish your thought. I got it after.
Okay, I was just going to say, you know, it really all goes hand in hand. There are just certain principles about each branch of engineering or whatever science you're dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that goes along
yeah.
with everything. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, civil, they want to make sure that the ground is clear, to lay the pipes in, and they're breaking ground. Structural, they're doing a footing, and they're doing the concrete. Architecture, okay, now it's time to go ahead and design the building and go on and get the contractors to build it. Then once the building is built, okay, now let's put in HVAC. Now let's put in electrical. Let's put in the plumbing. Because the building can't operate without, you know, it can operate, but, you know, you can have a building, but just like our bodies, you know, without the electrodes in our body and the breath in our body and the plumbing that goes on in our body, we're pretty much dead. So a building
without
you see what I'm saying? The building is just there, you know. So, yeah, I mean, you have to, you know, yeah, it's and I understand every discipline. I understand the importance of every discipline because it's needed.
Right.
You know, every discipline is important. There's no big ass little use, you know.
That's right. Because kind of keeping with that same idea, you know, I'm noticing that you talked, it says graphic design and engineering technology. Could you kind of speak to how you really got into or how you knew you had an interest in STEM, I guess from a young age or, you know, as you got older, and then particularly leading you to your interest in graphic design coupled with engineering?
Yeah, well, you know, when I was in high school or junior high, well, when I was in elementary, I got introduced to paint shop. Then I got in junior high, I got introduced to art classes, which I drew by hand. And then I took, like, typing. And then I took my computer classes grew, my art classes grew. Now when I got in high school, I took computer business applications, I took computer programming, and I took more art classes. I wasn't that strong in math, but I tell people, math plus art plus computers equals engineering. Well, math plus art plus computers plus science is engineering. And so I was real strong in computers. I was real strong in programming. I was real strong in art. I was real strong in I love science, but math I was kind of weak. And so my first love was computer science. I was kind of scared. I took a test in networking. I didn't do well. And so my boyfriend at the time, he was taking drafting classes in high school, and he had applied to ITT. Well, all my friends in high school got invitations to ITT Tech, and I didn't. So I called him. I said, look, I'm interested in drafting. I want to know what can I do to get in and all that. And so I still have love for programming and networking, you know. So taking all these art classes and computer classes just made me just want to get a job in sitting in front of a computer. I don't care what I'm doing in front of a computer, editing or laying out floor plan or laying out fire alarm electrical. I just love sitting in front of a computer. And I remember one time in junior high, I got so frustrated with this computer programming class, I dropped it to take gym. And I think my mom or somebody was like, what the heck were you thinking about? You going to quit a computer programming to take a gym class? I said, because it's easy. And so, you know, I was mad because I couldn't get the programming down on it. So eventually I dropped the gym and went back to computer programming, and I applied myself with it. And so I love programming now. And so I kind of do a little program. I do this little, animation programming on some stuff I do on my computer just for fun. And so just, and from then, it's just I kept applying myself from the computer, from paint shop to Adobe Photoshop to art classes to now taking, you know, now I'm 20 years old taking 3D Studio Max, you know, classes or whatever. And everything just grew from there, just, you know, from junior high to high school to college, taking art and computer courses. It just grew and grew and grew. And then once I got into the school, oh my God! I was like, wow, you know, drafting, I only had 2 weeks after I graduated. Well, I called ITT and I paid my down payment or whatever, and they recommended me. I took a test, I passed on the second try. That's when they had entry exams at ITT. That's when it was hard to get in, you know. So then from there, you know, when I started taking my classes, my tests and stuff with my classes, it was hard. It was challenging. Again, I had to apply myself again. So everything I do now, I apply it to real world. Even when I taught at ITT, I didn't just teach them how to work for engineering architecture firms. I trained them how to be designers and entrepreneurs in the field. Apply yourself. You know, and that's what made me understand stuff. Even when it got hard, like I was going to drop out of ITT, and my mama said, "I'd rather see you struggle at ITT than struggle for the rest of your life." And so I stayed. Mm-hmm. And I struggled with physics, with trigonometry, and with the classes, because we took every class from architectural to structural to that back in that day. It was like 96. Back in that day, ITT curriculum was different than it was before it closed down. You know, they each quarter, each semester, whatever, you have different disciplines. Architecture, one discipline; structure, one discipline, and so. Each quarter, so when my mom gave me that lecture, I just applied myself to real world. And I would ride down buildings and look at architecture buildings. I would go inside and look at how, and so I would look and see how everything is put together, you know. And it was interesting. I was like, oh, okay, so yeah. You know, I would love one day to design something and ride down the street and see. And then when I took my final exam, I had to come up with a final project. And at the time, I was living in a house where my mom, they had the wash and dry in the kitchen, and my mom would complain all the time about it being hot. So my final project was to design a utility room for the wash and dry to go in and to cut off the pipes and where the wash and dry was to have more cooking space for my mom. And we had to write a report, and we had to design and everything. And what really made me click and what really made me say, yeah, this is really for me, when my mom and dad, they got the house remodeled and siding, and the construction people did it. They built the utility room exactly the way I designed it, and they didn't use my plan. They knocked down, they tore out the window in the den, they made that a door, and they added the utility room behind the den, and where the wash and dry was, my mom used it for cooking space. So she had more cooking space, and it was less heat in the kitchen while she was cooking. And the utilities in the back of the house, well, the heat went out to the back, so she didn't have to complain about the heat no more, and she had more cooking space. And that was one of my theories of my design project. So after that, I was like, man, I can do this. You know, I think I can do this. So, but anyway, so it's a, you know, that was a turning point for me, you know, in my engineering architecture field. And after that, you know, it's been nothing but architecture engineering firms. I work for a lot of architects just as a contractor or part-time or full-time. But after that, I just working for bigger and larger architecture engineering firms. And I work with some of the best.
Wow.
And my husband's a general contractor, too. So.
Right.
Oh, look at that. Stay in the family.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Keep it going. Keep the knowledge.
Keep it going, yeah.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
So you mentioned, I thought that one thing that was very interesting, you talk about the art and you talk about the engineering or the technical aspects together. And it's funny because that reminds me a lot of myself. So I'm a civilian engineer for the United States Navy. I work at the Navy Yard in South Philadelphia. And I also am a dancer and choreographer as well. I've done it for like a while. I was like 13. So you talk about marrying the creative mind and the technical mind and bringing it together. What is it about that marriage, that combination, that makes you so effective in both arenas, and then how, and I guess more so, like, kind of just digging into that aspect. What is it about that makes you effective, and then how does that really make you effective in other avenues or endeavors in life?
Well, I know when I do video production for the TV station, I'm always looking at the wires. I'm understanding how the wires are put together. I'm understanding the connection of wires. Being with video production, all that stuff, I'm adding my technical engineering spec to it. I'm seeing how can I fix this? Why is this not edited right? Why is this not white balance? Why is this? So now I'm putting my technical with my creativity. Then when it comes to creativity, I mean, when it comes to technical, I'm bringing my creative there. So when I'm drawing wires for fire alarm, I'm thinking of ways, okay, there's no speaker here. Can we put a speaker in the patio? Can we, you know, now I'm thinking creative about fire alarm. And when it comes to creative, if something is need to be fixed, but wire ain't plugged in. I'm like, well, maybe this wire ain't plugged. If the camera ain't coming on, okay, maybe the camera ain't coming on because the wire ain't plugged in, this connected. So they all, because with video and graphics, you have to, you know, the software. Like I downloaded Adobe Premiere 2018. I noticed they ain't had no sound. So I'm using 2017 for editing because I don't have the time to. I'm going to download a decoder later. So that's a technical thing I have to. So, you know, if a software go down, a software crash, you know, that's where you got to put on your technical head. You know, when I'm laying out fire alarms, so I'm going to count fire protection. I'm thinking of ways to be creative. Like, just like I asked the guy, how can we come up with a fire alarm? How can we create and come up with a fire alarm system that can stop the fire spread in California? How can
right.
we come up with that? How can we invent that? You know, that's just me coming up with some creative. It works
right.
both hand in hand. You can be creative all day and do Photoshop all day, but if you ain't got your technical head on, if it crashed, what's for me? So
right,
it goes
right.
both hand in hand. Even though you're an engineer, you know, be creative. You know, I'm thinking about now, how can I have a security code access to my house where it can sense if somebody is in the yard or if a dog's in the yard, and they tell, oh, dog is in the yard. You know, just something fun and creative.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
So
right.
it goes
awesome.
Hand
right.
in hand. Trust me, it do. I always call myself a technical creative specialist because I think technical, but I'm creative, you know, at the same time. So it works hand in hand. It really does. And it'll keep you from
right.
a lot of headaches. It sure will.
Right.
A lot of headaches. So it's like a preacher that has a funeral home. You know, he has a funeral home. He has a church home. So if any of his members pass, they can just he can bury them. He has a funeral home. So
right,
it goes
right.
hand in hand. Yeah. So I think it works hand in hand. You know, if you're an actor and you direct, well, you know how I should act. You know?
Right.
And you direct actors how you think they should act. And if you're an actor, you can help a director, you know, so everything is like a hand in glove. You just have to know how to work, wind them together, you know. And mix it up. You know.
Right.
Like I say, everybody has a creative and a technical bone in their body. You just got to know how to use it, I think.
Right.
Even with cooking, yeah, you got the ingredients, you got your recipe, but if I don't have all my ingredients, I'll come up with a substitute. I'll be creative and come up with a substitute. You know,
right.
You don't have to do
right.
with the.
Exactly.
You don't have to do what the box say or what the package say. You know, and it works.
Not at all.
It really does.
So that's interesting. You know, I've definitely seen how the two kind of marry together and impact. Like, you know, when I'm doing choreography or something, I kind of attack it from like a system perspective, like breaking down a song, you know, going from one part to the next, or you know, looking at how, you know, a certain move or certain movement will bring out a certain beat or count or aspect of the song, and it becomes my own little like system that I'm working on at any given time. So and also played the violin and stuff growing up. So like that too, with counts and math and everything, you kind of see how that goes together. So I definitely hear you on like that combination and like kind of going from like right brain to left brain, and just like kind of doing it every day.
It goes hand in hand. I'm telling you, man, like I say, it, you know, because even in architecture, even though it's more RC, it's still technical. And sometimes in the architecture engineer world, they want you to be creative. They don't want you to, they can sit there and mark up everything for you, but they want you to have an issue. They want you to be creative. You know, they want you to go out and, you know, and the guy I told about let's go, he thought that was crazy. I said, let's go out. That's create. That's designing, creating, patent a system to stop the fire. He looked at me and he started laughing. I'm like, I'm serious. You know, so people don't think of being that creativity along with technical will give you residual income if you know how to do it, you know. It will definitely give you residual income. You got to know how to do it. You know,
yeah.
We sit there, we you know, we sit here and we work every day. Like I said before, if I'm going, whether I'm an engineer or movies or whatever, I want to leave an impact. I want to do something. You know, now, I don't mind being the first black female that created the first fire alarm system to stop the fires in California. Hell, look, I'm getting the best of both worlds. I'm saving lives and I'm making money in my sleep. You know,
right.
We created for residential and commercial building. You know, so yeah, that's you got to think long term. You know,
right.
If I'm gonna work at a grocery store, I want to see how I can bag groceries the fast. You know, I mean anything to, if I'm gonna work at McDonald's, I want to see how I can make better fries. You know, that's just not just work for people. Let's do something that's going to make a system or make something better, you know? Come up with a way to make something better. Look at Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg. He came up with a way that people can communicate all over the world. That's how we on the phone, you know?
Right.
My mama tell me all the time, you know, with the trampoline park. Man, you could have came up with this. You know, so I said, Mom, I'm gonna come up with something, I promise. She won't, you know, and she know I'm trying to come up with something to invent or be creative so I can, the thing is, come up with something that people need and will save lives and that people will buy. You know. You don't ever want to put yourself in a position where people have a choice to either get medicine or get photography. You know, you want to be in a position where people say, well, I got to get my medical, and I need to go get this fire alarm system because mine expired, you know. I got to get this fire alarm from Costco Fire Alarm Designs, you know. So.
Okay. Well, one of the things that, one of the things that Original Man Scientific is about helping people bring their inventions or their ideas to life. So,
yeah.
Later on this week, we can probably talk about how we can assist you and what you would like to do for what you're talking about in terms of the bylaws and whatnot.
Okay. Yeah, I would definitely love that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Keep me informed.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And so I see you attended ITT Tech in Little Rock, correct?
Yes.
And it's.
And in Tampa, Florida.
I'm sorry. In Tampa, Florida,
no,
right?
In Tampa, Florida, yeah.
Okay, in Tampa, Florida. And our show, The STEM Files, actually debuted 2 weeks after it shut down.
Wow.
So it was like our very first guest was a teacher at ITT Tech. And
oh, wow.
He was – you remember that episode, Jabril? That very first episode?
I vaguely, I'm not gonna lie. I know I can probably surface and go through the episodes. I can do it, but I do vaguely remember it was an ITT Tech individual.
Right, he's a software engineer right now, but that episode was called "Lightning in His Hands," right? Because he was an electrical engineer. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because when the school closed down, it kind of. Even though it was unfortunate, it kind of opened up the door for what we're trying to do, so to speak.
Mm.
So what's your viewpoint on that? Like, how did you feel when you heard about that, or did it affect you in any way, you know, in terms of that being your alma mater?
Well, it kind of affected me in a way. I'm like, well, dang. It's like you're running on the edge, and then there's no
– right.
It's like your degree doesn't matter now. It's like, okay, what'd you get your degree in? ITT, didn't they close down? I mean, I'm like, oh my God. You know, does my degree even matter? Does it mean anything? Do I need to go to school? Or, you know, do I need to get certified or something? You know, that's the effect of me, but I kind of saw the writing on the wall. And matter of fact, I was going to take that semester off.
Wow.
And the dean was like,
wow.
Yeah, I was going to take a semester off because I worked back to back for the last, I haven't took a semester off since I taught in May of 2000. I taught 2010 and 2011,
and then they cut back, and then when I was subbing for our school district, and they hired me, then I had to go back to ITT for them to sign the papers to say I have teaching experience, and they was like, well, we need you here. And that was like 2013. So I worked from 2013 to 2016. So, well, yeah, 12 of us, yeah. And so, you know, I kind of, like I say, when I was going, we had to take an entry exam to even get in. And I had to take it twice. And when my sister-in-law went, she took the entry exam. She was like, why didn't you tell me? And so I guess, I don't know, people was leaving and going to accredited schools. Once they found out ITT wasn't accredited, they left. Majority of people left and went to accredited schools. And so they took out the entry exam, and they just said, okay, just come in. They just when it got to the point they were just accepting anybody, I saw the writing on the wall then.
Wow.
I said, uh-oh.
Wow.
I said, yeah, it's going down slowly. I saw the ship.
Crazy. I didn't even know. Yeah, I didn't know it was that deep.
Yeah, it's very deep. Yeah, I mean, they went to the point to where they was, I don't even know if I should say it, but I ain't going to say it, but you can tell it was getting, you can tell when people get desperate and they need people. And it was getting to that point, and they would get, and they would mostly get disenfranchised people. You know, because everybody else would leave and go to accredited schools, and ITT wasn't accredited. It was just accredited to other ITT schools. And so people that went to work for big architecture engineering firms, they had to go back to school again just to, if they wanted to be architects.
Oh, God.
You know, they couldn't take the CAD to an architectural accreditation school or engineering. They had to start over. So it's almost like you might as well just go to accreditation school, take CAD for 2 years, and then get your architecture engineering degree. And you know, so it was almost like a waste of time. I'm paying student loans now. You know, and I said, I'm not going back to school unless somebody want to pay. But at this point in my life, I'd rather just get grandfathered in as an engineer or, you know. You know, take some classes, you know, go on YouTube, whatever, to learn what I need to learn. But, you know, I spend but 2.5 years in my associate and 1.5 for my bachelor's. And then I'm still paying student loans, so I ain't no way. Unless the school is free, I go. But yeah, it was. They had a master's degree program and a bachelor's degree program, but it was only a credit for ITT. They weren't accredited nowhere else.
Right.
And when it closed down, it was a shock. But it really, I didn't think it was going to do it that soon. Maybe I thought they was going to maybe put them on like 2 year probation or something. Then say, so
right,
maybe y'all
right.
improve your numbers. But dang, it was like boom, bat, holla, see you back
immediately.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. So
yeah.
so even though the school wasn't accredited, the government still gave students financial aid to go there.
They get a student loan. Yeah. I didn't understand that myself. Yeah.
That's very.
So I don't know if it was some embezzlement going on. I don't know what was going on.
Right.
You know.
Because you would think the government wouldn't even help you attend something like that, right?
Right. Exactly. And a lot of folks, and it's a lot of, you know, because I said, okay, if I don't go to, because I was going to go to a 4-year college to get my computer science. I said, okay, well, I just need something I can go for 2 years, get a degree, and go to work. You know. Because I, you know, at the time, I don't know if I wanted to go to the Army. I didn't know, you know, but. And my husband just graduated last year at UALR in School of Construction Engineering. It was hard as heck, but he went through it. He got through it. So, I mean, it's crazy. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to make money and learn. Just, you know, my thing is, if you already know, yeah, if you already know what you want to do and you already know what you're doing, just, you know, upgrade your skills, take a, get your license, get certified or whatever. But, you know, because when I was in electrical engineering department, I wanted to take a license to get certified LC. It's like a lighting certified something. It was like a step below an engineer, but you had the credentials to be a designer. You
know? Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I just feel sorry for the others that, was about to graduate or had, you know.
Yeah, that, yeah. That would have,
it's crazy. Yeah. I was emotional, kind of emotional for me at the same time. But I prayed that. And a lot of other schools opened up doors to ICT. If you went to ICT, if you want to go to, you know, here, come on, you know, we'll take some of your credits, you know. So.
No, okay, that's
yeah,
good.
Man, that's, yeah. I hate that happened, but.
Okay.
It was bound to happen, but dang, at least they could at least gave him a probation period, you know.
Right. There's definitely was a lot of stuff going on with that.
Yeah, numbers was dropping, people were dropping, they would get people that, you know, could barely afford gas to come to school. You know. And the recruiters, they had to get people so they can get their commission, you know. It was rough all around. Student cop parents, I said, look, I need to chill. I need to take a break. And I got a call. Well, you can take a break, y'all. You can take a break because we're not going. There's no more ITT. I said, oh, okay. So, yeah.
It's a long break.
I mean, I used to like teaching it, but once they got certain people enrolled, it was rough. My last semester teaching was, yeah. But, you know, I'm still going to, I'm going to do workshops like for CAD and BIM and stuff like that. You know, I'm going to have workshops where people want to learn CAD design or BIM editing or whatever. I still do that.
Interesting. Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. You're in Arkansas right now, right?
Yeah, Little Rock, Arkansas. Born and raised. Yep.
Okay. Awesome.
Born and raised.
Okay.
Where y'all located?
Great, we definitely. I'm in Atlanta. And
I'm in Philly.
Ash, who?
He's in Atlanta, and I'm in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay, Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, our team is kind of, you know, remote.
Cool. I'm working with a lady that's, I think, is Delaware and Philadelphia like close by each other?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm working with a lady on her web series that lives in Philadelphia, Delaware.
Okay.
I'll probably be up there.
We're definitely trying
this
to
year.
trying to spread and cover a lot of ground with what we're doing, and basically trying to get a system down that can be kind of duplicated in different areas, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So, you know, things
right.
like workshops and, you know, maker spaces and, you know, camps and things where people can get involved in STEM. You know. Monetize
mm-hmm.
on it and like kind of spread, you know, their ideas and promo and all that stuff as well. Trying to have it so that whatever's done in one place that's successful, we can it can be modular or whatever. We can recreate it in your area. So then like the OMS
right.
brand, the STEM brand or whatever
yeah.
is built as a result. So that's something that we're, you know, working on and definitely want to, you know, heighten the pace or quicken the pace on it as well.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Right. Okay. Are we live right
definitely.
Now?
Yes, we're live right now.
Oh,
everyone's
okay.
listening live.
Okay. Well, I know I sent it to, definitely. I shared it to a lot of people, so I don't know.
Oh,
listening.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so
yeah.
much.
Great.
LinkedIn, Twitter,
mm-hmm.
the STEM
Oh,
page.
LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
LinkedIn
yeah.
is amazing.
We appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
We love it when the guests
oh, yeah.
promote the show because it shows
oh, yeah.
that they're excited, you know?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, most definitely. A lot of times Facebook LinkedIn is more business than Facebook. You know,
right,
you can
right,
put on
definitely.
Facebook. You can put on Facebook, you know, I just started my business or I just created a
good luck.
I just sent a man to the moon with a fire alarm
I just cured cancer. Like
I just cured cancer and you probably get one or two likes. You know,
exactly.
if you,
right. it's not
if,
even,
if you, you talk
yeah.
about you talk about somebody, oh, Tariq got a big head and he makes me sick, you got 100 likes. So
just in an hour.
In 5 minutes. So
right,
LinkedIn
right.
is very, very business, and Facebook is just more. They just want to be nosy, but
everybody
like
else is business.
they don't like nothing
right,
positive. Yeah. So, and I have a group called American Black Web Series and Filmmakers. I started 3 years ago, for us and by us. But we're international now because everybody that somebody, whether you're from India or Australia or Korea or whatever, if you like film and you're a director, actor, and you want to be in a group, you're welcome to be in a group, even though it's called American Black Webfeeders and Filmmakers. And everybody, it's a platform for everybody to show their work. It's a platform that started almost 4 years ago. It's a film festival called American Black Film Festival. I don't know if you heard of that. It's the biggest film, black film festival in the world. It's who's who in Black Hollywood. And
okay.
And I started it because a lot of us had submitted our web series to the web category, but it took too long, and everybody was emailing all their work, and somebody got mad, quit replying. So I just started a group and added all the emails, started with 100-plus people emails, and we just grew from there. Now we got like 14,000 people, and the platform is set for those that ever probably, including myself, that probably won't ever get their work shown on BET, MTV, HBO, theater. We have 14,000 people, and hopefully we'll grow more that we can show our work to. And I'm trying to get together some funds so we can go to so I can have a film festival. Right now, I did a favorite web series category, and the one that had the most votes won a trophy and won $100 in the group. So I'm doing that just to keep it interesting, you know. And I'm gonna try to do it again this year for the best web series, and they get a trophy and $100. So you know, it's more, like I say, it's more aspiring filmmakers than it is aspiring engineers in this world. So,
yeah,
I guess I got to come up with engineering. I think it is a group called National Society of Black Engineers, but if I come up with a group called Urban Engineers or something, I don't know. I don't know.
But Jabril, you know all about the national, right?
The one more time.
I think I heard of it.
Just say it again.
The National Black Society of Engineers.
Yeah, NASBE.
Oh, okay.
National Society of Black Engineers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was a part of it as a high school and college student. I was in college for 2 years. I was the TCI chair. So that's pre-college initiative. So basically K through 12, getting those involved in STEM-related activities, conferences, experiments, engagements, and really trying to increase flow into the STEM pipeline. It's an awesome, awesome organization to be connected with. I really need to get involved on a professional level, like, you know, as an engineer, you know, professionally, and because they do have a pretty good, I think, branch in the Philadelphia area, which I do know a few individuals. So anything STEM related, and you are Black, you need to be a part of that organization. They have, you know, national annual conferences in different areas, depending on the region that you're in and what, you know, states you're in. And there's a lot of opportunities. Like, you know, the website has, you know, ways to get involved from, you know, career level, you know, volunteer level, different aspects and about the different officers and the different positions and stuff available. And there's voting capabilities, so they have like senators that will go and vote on legislation in regard to the organization and everything. So there's a lot of opportunity. It's also a huge, huge networking opportunity too, to you know, build your own brand and connect with your fellow engineers, people who look like you and also think like you, because there's not a lot of that that goes around, at least in our community. In terms of you know, what you know. I mean, there will be people, but, you know, a lot of times I heard someone say, you know, we suffer not so much from being disunited, but being disconnected. Because, like, a lot of us do want to unite with one another, but we don't know who's who and who's doing what.
Yeah.
So we do a poor job of keeping track of one another and then being abreast of each other's condition, situation, and interests. So that's something that NSBE does a good job of.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that's why we got groups in Facebook, right? So everybody can keep up with.
Yep,
YouTube.
That's right. Now everybody trying to meet somebody.
Everybody trying to be somebody. You know, just
that's right.
It's a process. You know? So, anything else y'all want to ask me?
Oh, I had another question. I thought it was really interesting. So you mentioned, well, I had two questions. So the first one I'll ask is, you're a STEM engineering arts vet. You've been in the industry for like 15 years, so you've obviously seen a lot of stuff. So I guess as one who's been in the industry for so long, are there any like either misconceptions, myths about engineering, about STEM you can bust up for some of us young, like new, you know, budding engineers or budding STEM enthusiasts? And then is there any advice you would give to a young person that's a high school, collegiate, or whatever level that's striving to make something of themselves in STEM or the arts and trying to move forward?
Right now, man, junior high and high school, they got curriculums that I wish I had growing up. Junior high I used to go to, they're a STEM school. They're called Forest Heights STEM Academy now.
Okay.
I was a parapro when I was taking my break from engineering or whatever. I was a parapro. And my student that I had, they were doing CAD stuff in sixth and seventh grade. Okay.
Right.
So my advice, and then even in high school, they're taking photography classes and they're doing film editing and stuff. My advice to the high school and junior high would be to take, if you want to get into engineering, if you want to get into the arts, take as many art classes, take as many CAD classes, photography classes. You know, don't look at those classes as, oh, they're just for fun or I won't get credit. No, take them classes because I wish I would have taken classes in high school. Well, I take that back. My husband took drafting. I think he took a drafting class in high school, and he got an award for drafting. But when I was growing up, some schools were magnets. Some schools offered
them.
I was at a school that didn't offer them classes. They just offered computer programming, computer typing, and stuff like that. But I wish I would have went to a magnet school that offered me drafting, that offered me photography, or whatever. And so my advice to them would just be take advantage of those classes. Don't take those classes lightly, especially if you know what you want to do already. Take those classes because if you go ahead and take a class in high school, okay, go ahead and go to college and get a degree in it. And while you're getting a degree in it, work as an intern somewhere and get working experience. When you graduate from college, hey, you can either open up your own business or you can work with somebody or both. Like I told somebody today, I have a career, a business, and a job.
And listen, you got that H word, that hustle, and I think that's what a lot of times, you know, even I talk to myself a lot about having that. And you, if you really want what it is you say you want, you have to move or be active in it. You know, I think a lot of times, even, you know, it's the new year, right? So everybody has this whole new year, new me vibe going on. And one thing I don't like to do is get sucked into that, because I know, like, improving oneself and change is a day-to-day, hour-to-hour thing that you do. And every day you're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. So, you know, in January, the gym memberships go up, you know what I'm saying, healthy eating, all that stuff goes up. And by February, you know, it's kind of back to the norm. So the gym rats get their gym back in, the healthy food restaurants get their normal crowd back. So, you know, with that being said, there's a dearth in a true want and longing and striving toward true goal setting and doing that which people put out in the atmosphere that they say they want to do. So I just like listening to you and your passion and what you have done and how dedicated you've been through trial and error and through obstacles is really all inspiring. So it's just funny because, you know, it's necessary to have that vigor, to have that thing that keeps pushing you forward, that person, that opportunity, that child, that, you know, whatever it is, that, and it keeps pushing you forward. And I know that you have that, and it's something that I think a lot more people need when it comes to wanting to have their own business or do whatever it is they want to do for success.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, it's you got to have that hustle too, you know, I'm trying to do two things at one time. Did you ask me a question or you was, can you hear me? Hello?
Jabril? Oh, it's Paul dropped. It's okay. He'll be back. It's dropping every now and then. Yes, man, we heard everything. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about before, here you go. He's right here.
Okay.
All right. Jabril? Jabril, can you hear me?
Uh-oh.
Jabril? Jabril, you there? Okay.
Hello?
Sorry, probably have some. Jabril?
Hello?
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 Hello? We can hear you, man, but can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear one
you
of
can
you.
Hear, yeah,
one of y'all.
I can hear you all. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We good.
I can hear. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry about that. I don't know what's going on, if it's something I'm saying or some setting that is on my system or whatever, but I keep on, like, dropping or whatever, so I'm trying to get back on as soon as possible. But we can keep rolling, you know what I'm saying? We can switch gears.
Okay, cool. Is there anything you wanted to add real quick, or you good?
No, I was good. I was just actually listening to her answer, that's all.
Oh, okay. That's what I was asking. Right, was the last one, was it a statement or was it a question?
I was just making a statement in agreement to what you were saying. That's all.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's all I'm doing.
That's my advice. Just I just got one more thing to say. You know, I know. Science and computers and art is and math. I got a cousin right now. She's majoring in math. I said, oh my God, you can. Math, you can do whatever you want to do. You can send a man to the moon. You can be whatever with math. You can do whatever you want to do. I ain't never heard nobody want to major in math though.
Right.
She's smart and she's intelligent. I told her to go for it. So, and we need more. You know, our young people like that. You know, I would have took math more serious. My husband's real good in math, but I'm okay. My highest math was physics. You know, I think it go all the way up to like business calc or something. I would never make it.
Business calc, golly, okay.
Juggernaut.
Yeah, I mean, because you know, in most of these engineering firms, they're gonna. It's good to know math and do good in school in math, but most of these engineering architecture firms, they already got a software that you need to know your math, but they already got software that they're going to show you how to plug in numbers,
right.
And they're going to give you the area square footage and give you how many speakers you need for the ceiling or whatever. So, but it's good to know math, though. It really is.
Absolutely.
Right.
Know math. So, yeah, I support STEM all the way. And then, like I say, I ask the young people to take advantage of these STEM schools. These STEM schools are growing, you know. They adding more STEM to these regular schools now. And they teaching these kids CAD and graphics and how to invent stuff. And I even went to a science fair to STEM. And they take these science fair very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, we got a STEM fair coming up soon, actually. So we'd like you to be a part of that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it sounds fun.
Yeah,
so
we're gonna get information.
Yeah,
huh?
I said we're gonna send you a lot of that information. Like,
okay. I wish I would have participated in science, but I just when you grow up, you think back like, dang, why didn't I do this? I wish I would have taken this more serious. You know, we don't think about it until you're grown, I guess. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's all I have.
Right. That's the beautiful part about STEM is that it's really never too late. You know, STEM is always, going to be there for you, whether you're, a child or someone in their 40s or 50s.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that, you can just grab onto,
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Technology, science, technology, engineering. I think they're adding art to it now. It's science, technology, engineering, art, and math. So I think they added the A in there. Yeah. So, yeah, STEAM.
STEAM.
STEAM, right.
And it's crazy because some people like to, leave out the A or just put STEM or what have you. But to me, it'll be there anyway.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Yeah, man. Let's keep the STEM and the STEM going.
Okay. And one of the things we like to ask, all our guests at the, first of all, we want to thank you. Thank you for your time tonight. Jabril, is there anything you'd like
to ask
real quick?
Thank you for having me. Ask you? Ask
I'm sorry. Go ahead, man. What were you going to say?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I definitely thank you for, you know, being on the show. Definitely you've given a lot. I think one of the more, or not that we haven't had a bunch, but one of the really more passionate guests we've had, we can tell you love your craft and love
right.
it a lot. It's like when you got, as soon as you got on the show, I was like, I can just feel all of your energy. So I definitely thank you for that because –
Thank you.
Me, I'm a very energetic person, too, so I love when a guest comes on and, like, gives that same level of energy and really goes into and talks and even raves about what it is. Because a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, yeah, with young people, people in general, like, the sciences, you know, are growing to be more exciting. But when you have someone that applies that vigor and really, oh, man, you're talking about math. They're talking about science. Talking about, what, like, you know, engineering. Like, is it really that dope? Yes, it is. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, like, listen up, and then we'll – pair you with someone that could be a potential mentor down the line that can give you a job or opportunity, can help you start a business as it pertains to, you know, what it is you love. It's cool to be engaged in and want to pursue STEM. You don't have to be an entertainer. You don't have to be a basketball player. You don't have to be,
right.
you know, one of these things that's always popped in front of children that look like you and me as success.
Right.
You can be something that really leads to tangible change in your everyday life. So I really
right.
appreciate everything you brought to the table today, and I hope that we stay connected, you know, into the far future.
Yeah, Tariq I can't add him as his friend. Yeah. He got something
to do. That Facebook challenge is weird.
Yeah.
Like, I can only
That's
follow
the only
you,
challenge.
Is, like,
We need to get to your settings. We need to get to the technical part and get to your settings, and you need to open that thing to go friend each other.
Do you have Instagram and Twitter?
Yeah, I do have Instagram. Instagram, you can follow me at Tanisa707 on Instagram. Twitter is what is it? Mrs. 707 on Twitter. And Instagram is Tanisa707 because my business is Studio 707 Graphic Design. But I'm about to change it to Studio 707 Production because engineering, all I do, engineering, CAD, film, video, graphics, photography, all is under Studio 707. And like you said, you know, engineering can be cool. You know, and you know, back in the day, being a nerd or geek wasn't cool, but shoot, it is now.
Right.
It's cool now because everybody knows nerds and geeks make money and smart.
Right.
You know,
geeks make money.
Exactly,
you know,
yeah.
we
right.
make money. And even Taraji said it. She said she was finna major in electrical engineering, and
right.
the math got too hard for her, whatever. And she said, "Squash that. I'm going into entertainment. I'm finna be an actress." She's a successful actress. But guess what? Let me tell you how things come back in full circle. She said when she got the gig for Hidden Figures, she had to know numbers. Now, mind you, she was going to major in electrical engineering. She didn't like math. That's why she dropped it, to be an actress. But she
right.
was an actress, a lead actress, in a role of a mathematician. How funny
right.
is
now,
that?
Now imagine that. That's
imagine
amazing.
That is
right.
now that's when creativity meets technical. You're a
right,
creative
right.
actress. Now you have to know the numbers. You know, you're an actress that's acting in a lead role. You're playing someone that was a mathematician. Oh my, that sent somebody to the moon. Wow. So talk about coming full circle. You know, amazing.
Right.
So, yeah. And she made electrical, every time she mentioned electrical engineering, I'm sure somebody looked it up and probably applied for it. So she made electrical engineering cool, you know, to some degree, you know?
Right.
So, but yeah, man, let's make STEM and STEAM cool. Yeah. Make it
That's
cool.
right.
Okay. All right. Well, there's one more question that we like to ask all our guests before the show concludes, and that was what I was gonna say before I was going into thanking you. But what does science in general mean to you? Like, if you were, you know, approached by young people and they asked you, Ms. Casa, what is science and how important is it to you as an individual on a personal level?
Oh, man, what is science to me? Science is, of course, I believe in my Bible, and I do believe that God did, you know, make the world.
That's right.
Made us human. But, you know, there's science and then there's spiritual. But what science means to me, because science did, you know, okay, yeah, God created Earth, but science did mold some of these, like, some of these areas that we live in used to be mountains, and now they have houses on them. Science to me is something that helped evolve and to help mold the earth. God made the world, but science helped mold the earth and created rocks and created everything from copper, everything we needed to build houses and make cars. You know, everything that we learned, you know, science was a big contributor to all the materials, from plates to clothes, everything. Everything you science a big contributor. What was the other question? Why is it important to me?
Yes, ma'am.
Science is important to me because of the medicine that we take. How in the world do we take medicine for our headache and our headache go away? We take medicine for our stomach go away. How does medicine know where to go and where to go?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That's the important part, because it helps in the medical. It helps cure cancer. It helps, you know, stop headaches. It helps cure diseases in the medical field. And it's, you know, it's a two-edged sword. Science creates a mold of earth, and science is important because of the medical. You know, we got to stay alive. We got to get healthy. And we need, you know, science to keep some things going. So, and I always thought of that. How in the world do Advil stop my cramps or stop my headache or stop? There's medicine for everything. Your finger hurt. Your toe hurt. Your back ache. I'm like, wow. Somebody came up with a scientific method to, you know, get a DNA or something and create medicine for us to not be in pain. So science is universal. It's a universal language. And if done right, it can probably help stop the ozone layer for corrupting the world, you know, whatever. Somebody probably can put that hole back in the ozone layer or something, or save the earth or whatever. Look what it's doing with the weather. All this snow, all the hurricanes, all the tsunamis. Look at the fires, you know. I mean, that's going on. So it's very important. And like I said, if it's done right, It can save our planet. It can save human lives, and it can also create more material for us. Cause, you know, there's no more land. We can't add land, but we can get material. You know, so it's like I said, it's a universal language for everybody. And man, from animals to food to materials to everything. Know your science. And that's why you're in the medical field. They take a science class. They have to take some kind of science class, you know. But a lot of folks get confused with science and God, you know. And I'm not going to get into that, you know. But I guess that's why they call it Scientology. But I ain't going to believe in no Scientology. That's them. They believe whatever they want to. You know, some people think. You know, you got some people that say science did this, you know, some people say God did this. I'm a believer in both, you know, so you put both of them together, hey. So, but yeah, the universal language.
That's right. You know, it's interesting when we ask that question, just the different types of perspectives that we get. You know, and that right there in itself is the whole grand scheme of science, is for people to, you know, have some type of, and I know Jabril can attest to it, is for people to of different backgrounds and of different viewpoints on things to come together and make things happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely interesting to see, you know, your viewpoint and how others respond to that question. So once again, we thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Hopefully we can have you
thank
again.
You
and Right. And for people that want to know more about you and different things like that, how can they reach you other than social media?
They can, other social media, they can email me at tanisa.costa@fbcglobal.net. Of course, Tanisa
spell out for
Instagram.
Hmm? Can you spell out your email for the listeners?
Oh,
can you spell out your email for the listeners?
Yeah, I will. TANESA dot KASSA@sbcglobal.net is my personal email, and my business email is long, but I'll spell it anyway. info@studio707graphicdesigns.com is my business email. So I have a personal email, and I have a business email. But if you didn't get my business email, you can DM me on Instagram at Tanisa707 or email me on Twitter at Mrs707, or you can inbox me on Facebook at Tanisa Costa, and I'll give you my email address from there if you want my email address. Just say I heard you from the show, the blog show, and I didn't get your email. Can you send it to me or whatever? So,
okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
Oh, LinkedIn. Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn too, Tanisa Costa. You can email me there. So, yeah, let's keep the STEM and STEAM alive.
Yes, ma'am. And Jabril, is there anything you want to add real quick? Jabril?
He got his phone dropped.
Oh, man. I didn't realize he was gone.
Oh, man.
Okay. Well, hopefully he can chime back in because he's on the log. He's just not. You just can't hear him.
Oh shoot!
Oh,
I'm
man.
Sorry. I think I'm here. Can I hear me? Can I hear me?
Yeah,
oh,
we can hear you.
Yeah.
I had it on mute by accident. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I was going to call
the long. I see you in the schedule. I'm like, where you going?
Whole spiel. I got so
I was talking too long. He went to sleep and his face.
No, I was literally going to my whole end. And everything. Okay, so let's
oh, wow. go ahead, end it out, soldier.
Yes, sir. End it out. So, yes, this has been another cracking opening up the STEM files. We have Miss Costa come on with all the fire, all the vigor, giving us that passion for the arts, passion for STEM, which is something that's definitely needed in this day and time. So keep listening to the STEM files as we continue to bring on the best and brightest in STEM, and we hope to work with Ms. Costa in the future. You heard her information. We'll be putting it out on social media as well if you want to get in contact with her. But definitely reach out to us, to her, and as we try to move this train forward and really get STEM at a heightened level around the world. So I am your co-host, Jabril Muhammad, and that's my host, Tariq Muhammad, and this has been the STEM Files, y'all.
All right, real quick, family. Real quick. Our next guest for next Sunday is a biochemist. He did a lot of research when it comes to AIDS and HIV. So he'll be our next guest on Sunday. So definitely tune in for that right here on Blog Talk Radio. BlogTalkRadio.com/ OMS STEM Files. Once again, that's blogtalkradio.com/OMS STEM Files. All right, and thank you again for joining us. Peace and blessings, everyone.
Peace. Blessings.